For 2025, we had a theme for the year, which is Beyond the Fence. And we've looked at that a couple of times. We've gone through the year and tried to explore what that means to us as people and us as a church. So Beyond the Fence, what's that mean? When we live our lives, we have places that we feel safe. We build a fence around us, around where we feel comfortable, around where we feel safe. In our houses, we have a fence around our yard to protect us, but also to keep the dog in sometimes. But we have a fence around our lives because it helps us to feel safe and secure, helps us to be comfortable. It helps us to be able to know where is ours and where is not ours. What we looked at is how does that affect us as Christians? Because as Christians, we tend to build a fence around us. Our church, not a physical fence, but we have fences around our church where we feel safe. We have fences around where we can live our spiritual life, where we feel safe. We have fences built around where we're comfortable. And God's challenging us as a church and as Christians to step out of where it's comfortable, to step out of where we feel safe and to be able to reach out into the area around us. Can we reflect on the last 12 months? As we reflect, how many people have we invited to church this year? Hands up over... How many people have we invited to church? How many have we invited to come to one of the ministries of the church? How many people have we talked about church or about our faith? And how many people have prayed with those in our community, those around us? How many of us have shared the gospel with other people? Now, I'm not bringing that as a shame thing or a guilt thing, and I'm not going to say we have a winner, because that's not what it's about. The challenge is about how much are we willing to step outside of where we're comfortable, to step outside of where we feel secure, and to be able to look at where God's leading us into that discomfort and into that insecure place that's around us. Because there's times where we feel awkward, times where we feel threatened. And they're the places and the times that I believe God's encouraging us to step out into. I believe God is challenging us to transform our communities. We're being called to reach beyond the fence into the uncomfortable surroundings around us and transform the communities that we are a part of. So this year, there's a new theme. And the new theme is stepping beyond the fence, which sounds the same, but I'm going to explore what that looks like a little later. We read out the parable of the vine, where Jesus talked about the vine and who we are. And I want to firstly sit in that and have a look at that. Because when we read that passage before, I don't know if you noticed, but the word remain or abide simply comes over and over and over and over again. And it's like, move on from the remain. But it's so key. Abide in me. Remain in me. Where are we planted? If we have a look at the image of this vine, the vine has the fruit and the leaves, and then it has branches that come down, the main branches that go into where the roots go into the ground, where the nutrients come from, where the basis of that plant is. And what a question for us is that where are we planted? Where are we getting our nutrients from? Where are we getting our support and strength from? Because we would possibly like to think that we are supported, we are connected into God. And some of us are deeply rooted in God. And some of us are possibly not as connected or rooted and connected in as much as we think. But have a ponder. Where are we connected into? Where does our strength come from? Because we have this constant battle between what God wants of us and what the world wants of us. There's this constant tearing in us to be led one way or the other. And I think over Christmas, there's this revelation in some ways of what is our foundation. Is our foundation truly in God, or is it in the traditions of our community? Is it in the traditions of our family? Is it in the culture around us? Because we get so easily blinded to who we truly are and who God wants us to be. We can really try really hard to be connected in with God, but then when we look at our actions and what we do, we're actually not. Remain in me, abide in me. Are we connected into God? Because the basis of who we are as Christians, the basis of who we are as a church, is in God. Our sustenance, our nutrients, our strength come from God. Are we abiding in God? Because in this picture that God, Jesus gave, we are abiding in God, but we are connected through the branches. That we, me, you, we are a branch. That we are a branch connected into the vine, which is the broader family of God, the body of Christ. So we are a branch. But we as a church, a local church, is also a branch. Me as David is connected in through Stanthorpe Baptist, into the Baptist churches, into the Baptist, the churches, in through Jesus, into God. We have that connection and this flow. And if our nutrients are coming out of God through the church, through into us, that's where our strength is. And I believe, and I could be wrong, I've been wrong once before, I can go for seconds. I believe that we need to be connected in with a group of believers, a fellowship of believers. I believe the local church is key to who we are. It's where we get our strength and support from. It's where we have people encouraging us and strengthening us. Where we have people crying with us and people laughing with us. Doesn't always happen like that, but that's the goal of who we are as the body of Christ. We journey with each other, we support each other. And when someone's having a good day, someone else is having a struggling day, and we can come together and encourage each other. We are the branches, individually and as a local church. And something, a part of what this scripture was saying, is that there are those, the fruitless branches are removed, and the fruitful branches are pruned. If we are being fruitful, we'll be pruned. If we are fruitless, we are to be removed. That's harsh. Hands up if you're fruit. No. Again, no. But where do you sit in that? You know, for me, the core thing is that every branch gets cut. There's some in this in the Christian world which would say that if you become a Christian, life is beautiful and everything is good and you have no stress for the rest of your life, which I struggle to understand through Scripture. Because here it says that those who are fruitless will be cut off and thrown away and burned in the fire. Those who are fruitful will be cut back. That God works with us, God disciplines us, God teaches us, that in the world that we live in, we are guaranteed that something will not go right for us. There will be times where we're frustrated, where we're sick, where we're broken, where we're ripped off. Things happen around us. And God, through that, teaches us more about who He is, more about who we are. God teaches us and disciplines us through what happens in this world. When things go badly, does that mean we say, God's not involved, I'm over this? Because they're the times where we say, God is good and God is faithful and God will get me through this. When bad things happen, do we say, ho-ho, God's teaching me a lesson? No, that's not practical. But we can trust that God will teach us something through that. God will help us to understand more about who we are and where we're going and what that means. We understand more about the strength of who God is and what He wants in our life. And the final part about this passage that I want to reflect on is that God will bear fruit through us. In verse 16, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. The whole point of this passage is that we will go and bear fruit. That's the point of who we are. That's the point of my life as a Christian. That's a point of who we are as a church, that we might bear fruit. Now, I want you to imagine that I have an orchard in my yard. Now, it's easy to understand because we're in Stanthorpe and there's heaps of orchards. It's hard to understand because I have no understanding or knowledge of a garden. If you can't mow it or poison it, what's the point of it? No, it's not entirely true, but it's not far off. But if I have an orchard and I want it to bear fruit, how helpful is it that I go up and say, "Oi, you, apple tree, make me an apple." Will that help? No, why? Because an apple tree doesn't need abuse. An apple tree doesn't need to be told what it's meant to be. For us to get apples out of an apple tree, what do? We plant an apple tree, we let it grow, we give it nutrients, we give it sunlight, we give it water, I could be wrong, we prune it, we get it going, we create the conditions around it, and then naturally it just grows apples. Farmers, is that close? Close enough. Okay, so what I'm saying is that we as Christians don't need to get yelled at and make fruit. All we need to do is to have the right environment around us, to be able to be planted, to be able to remain in God, to abide in God, to get the nutrients from God, to be around, surrounded by the branches that are supporting us and strengthening us and giving us what we need, to have the sunlight coming on us so that naturally we just bear fruit. So often we look at evangelism and say, it's hard work. Evangelists, we've got to get out there and we've got to do this. And yeah, that's not untrue, but it's not the whole truth. Evangelism comes out of a desire and an environment that provides us a place that naturally God does amazing things through us. If we can work on where we are and what our surroundings are and where our nutrients come from, we will bear fruit. The whole understanding of going beyond our beyond the fence is allowing God to do things through us as people, as Christians, as a church. To be open to God, to build in us, to strengthen us, to encourage us so that naturally we bear fruit, fruit in our lives and fruit in the community around us. But I want to look at where we are and what God's challenging us into as well. There's another passage that I want to read from James, and we read it out before. And a part of that says that someone will say, "You have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds and I will show you my faith by my deeds." What James is saying is that what are you doing? What are your behaviours? What are your actions? Because if your actions and your deeds are not reflecting your faith, then in my words, it means nothing. Faith without deeds is dead. So I want to look at a couple of words here. I want to play a bit of a word game. The first word is belief. What are the things that we believe? Because the belief that we have, the things that we believe to be true, guide us and encourage us in who we are as people. Beliefs are the convictions or the accepted truths that individuals hold about the world, themselves or others, which may or may not be based on evidence. So we have evidence, we have beliefs, things that we believe to be true. The next word I want to introduce is values. We have values. And values are the guiding principles that flow from our true beliefs. Christian values emphasize love, humility, compassion, righteousness, and an internal perspective, providing a framework for ethical decisions and interactions with others. So on the one side, we have beliefs. And they're the things that we hold to be true. But then we have values, which are where our actions come out of. Now, there is a problem with this. And the problem is that sometimes we have a conflict between our values and our beliefs. We believe certain things, but then do we really value it? When we were looking at James, James says, you know, someone comes to you who is hungry and you say, "Oh, that's terrible. I really believe you should have food. Let me pray for you. Have a nice day." Whereas someone else will say, "Here's some food to eat." Our belief is that people should have something to eat. Our belief is that people should be safe. Where belief is that people should have some level of comfort. Our belief is that I can pray for people and God will change things. Our values dictate where we step into that. Our values to be able to say, well, I want to live out that people should have food means that we give food to people. To help people who have no shelter, then how do we do that? There's a conflict between our values and our beliefs. And as a person with integrity, we need to be able to work out, so what are my values? What are my beliefs? Where are they conflicting? And do I need to shift my beliefs or do I need to shift my values? Because there's no integrity in having a value that you, or a belief that you're not actually working out. Can I read from Matthew 21? It's the parable of the two sons. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered, and Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. I think Jesus is pointing out that, guys, you have your beliefs, but your values don't align with what your beliefs are. There needs to be a shift. We need to integrate our beliefs and values and to be have integrity in that moment. That we can't just have a belief and say, I believe this, 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 and actually not action it. We need to action our beliefs because they're our values, and our values need to reflect our beliefs. I want to introduce a third word, faith. Well, actually, it's a fourth word, but let's not be pedantic. Fourth word, faith. Faith by itself is not accompanied by action, is dead. We need to understand where faith is and what faith means. Because I believe, and I could be wrong, I'm still processing this, faith equals belief plus values. Our faith is an outworking of the integration of our beliefs and values. That we need to be stepping out into what we believe. We need to be working out what we believe in our values. And when we put all that together, that's the basis of our faith. So just to back up on these different words, belief. Beliefs form the foundation of a person's identity and guide their actions and decisions. What I attend to be true. Values are the principles that individuals prioritize and act with, shaping their behavior and interactions with others. Faith is the commitment to what we know to be true, which provides the purpose, plans, and reasoning undergirding our lives. Faith forms a commitment to the promises and outcomes that I am convinced will come to be that give purpose and direction to our lives. Our faith is what counts. Who we are is what counts. When I was younger, I rode a BMX bike. Really, no amens. Come on. I rode a BMX bike. And when I say ride, sometimes I rode it. Most of the times I was hitting trees, but you know, whatever, details. But what we used to do is to go down the back of where I used to live and we used to dig jumps. And we used to have all the bushland with all these jumps and little places and all this sort of stuff. And there were the little jumps that were only like this big. And then there were bigger jumps. And then we used to dig out holes in between and, you know, have water in there or people in there or fires. Shh. We were allowed to have fires back then. So we'd have all this stuff and then we'd go and we'd jump the bigger jumps, and the goal was always to do this biggest jump, the most risky, the most dangerous. And the first time on the bike, are you going to take that jump? Matthew probably would. Most of us would not. We start off with little jumps and we learn and we practice and we get better and better with the goal of I'm going to do that one. And then one day it's time to do it and you come racing in. How hard do you go? Because if you go half-hearted, are you going to make it? You got to go hard. You got to go full on, because if you're not going to full on and trust yourself, then you're guaranteed injury. And if you go full on, you may injure yourself, but at least you've got a better chance of surviving it. If we look at these words, belief and trust. Belief is when you're looking at this going, I've done the practice, I've gone up to it, I know that this is the next step, I believe I can do this. Values is the practicing of the smaller jumps and getting better and better and better. Faith is the whole journey. The journey from saying, I can land this, to how do I start this process? Faith indicates that I believe I can do it, and the values are I can practice and practice and get better and better until I can just send it and see how we go. I don't know if that helps, but for me it does. We need to live in faith. And when we live by faith, we have beliefs and we follow out those beliefs and integrate those beliefs into our values, which are our behaviours and our deeds that reflect our faith. Now, there's things that we believe that don't affect our lives. I believe that China exists. Who here believes that China exists? Who's been to China? One, two. Beck, you've never been to China. We know it exists, but we haven't been there, except for Margie. We haven't seen it. We've seen the products it gives us, but that just could be, you know, multinationals tricking us. But how does that affect our lives? It doesn't really affect us much. Who believes that there's flies? No one. I believe there's flies. Does that affect me? Yes, it affects me a lot. So do I do anything about it? Yes, I do. We have beliefs which don't affect our lives, but we have beliefs that do. And we have values set in place to be able to ensure us, to protect us from what we believe. Flies are annoying. Flies are pests. Flies all come from New South Wales. No, sorry. Did I say that again? Flies are bad. We need to look after ourselves and put things on to protect ourselves from flies. We have our beliefs, but then we have values. And the big picture is that we have faith. Final analogy. If I want to go to China, how will I get there? Well, nothing. Walk. Jump on a plane. Who believes that planes fly and can take you to China? Who has faith that you can get on a plane and fly to China? Who's very nervous about a flight to China? Faith is when you walk up to the plane and you go, I'm confident that we're going to get there, and I step on board. We need to live our lives by faith. Faith based in our beliefs, integrating with our values, so that our actions and who we are, our behaviour, reflects the God that we have faith in. Now, back to this. Last year we looked at Beyond the Fence, and I asked at the beginning, who's done this and who's done this? Because I think that we have the belief that yes, I'm willing and capable and ready to step beyond the fence. I am so ready to step beyond my comfort zone, so ready to step beyond where I feel safe and secure, where I feel comfort from people. I'm ready to step beyond that fence. But then when it comes to do it, it's a lot more difficult. The theme for this year is stepping beyond the fence. To say it's not just what I believe, but it's what I value. That our step beyond what we're comfortable in, beyond where we're secure, beyond where we feel safe, a step into connecting with our neighbours, connecting with our community, to invite people to church, to be able to talk about our faith, to be able to pray for those around us, even though they might reject us, even though they might mock us, even though they might reject us. Because you know what? They just might not. If I'm inviting someone and God wants me to invite someone, does God also put the emphasis that they have to say yes? God's calling us to be people who invite, to connect, who go to those around us to spread his word. Remember, as a vine is designed to grow and designed to bear fruit, so are we. Under the right conditions, when we abide in God, when we're connected through our Christians around us, as we have the right conditions around us, we will naturally bear fruit. Let's walk out in what God's challenging us to this year. Challenging us to be able to step outside our comfort and to be able to step into the somewhat unknown, to be able to see what God does, because God's going to do mighty and powerful things in us and through us as we walk in obedience to him. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you never ask us to do something that you have not already done. Jesus, it was comfortable in heaven before you became a baby. It was safe and secure in heaven before you came down to walk on earth. But you chose to come down and walk amongst us. You chose to come down and be sacrificed for my sin. You came down to transform and change this world that we live in. You came so that we might have life and have it abundantly and have it eternally. And Father, what's big for us is sometimes quite small. Some of the steps that are in front of us, we look at and go, they're too big, too hard, too tough. But Father, we know and we trust that you've got this. But Father, as we abide in you, you do great and mighty things through us. Father, thank you that you don't just give us a challenge and walk away, but you give us a challenge and you walk with us in and through that challenge. Father, thank you that as you discipline us to become more like you and to understand ourselves more, and you are good and faithful. And Father, I thank you that to bear fruit, all we need to do is obedient and to follow you, and great and mighty things will happen around us. Father, we profess that you are faithful, that you are good. And Father, we thank you that you are leading us in wonderful, wonderful places. In Jesus' name, amen.